Good evening. Thank you for coming to celebrate this great feast day today, this feast of Our Lady, the Blessed Mother, under her title, Our Lady of Guadalupe. And I want to begin by just a quick story, how this feast came about, a unique feast even among Marian feasts. But the story, I'm going to rush through it real quick because many of you are probably familiar with it, and I want to focus more on the readings here. But the story is that about 500 years ago in Mexico, where there is the Tepeyac Hill, there was a guy whose name is St. Juan Diego, whose feast we just celebrated this past Sunday. And he was an Aztec, Native American Aztec, who had converted to the faith that was brought over with the Spanish. And the story, very quickly, is that the Blessed Mother appeared to him one day on this hill, this Tepeyac Hill, and told him to go to the bishop and to tell the bishop to build a church in her honor on that hill. And he said, okay, but the bishop's not going to listen to me. And sure enough, he went to the bishop, and the bishop didn't listen to him. The bishop kind of laughed it off and says, ask for a sign. And anyway, so he comes back, and the next day he runs into the Blessed Mother again, and she tells him, go again to the bishop, but this time go first and pick these roses on the top of this hill. These roses, by the way, that were a unique species of roses. There's so many details in this whole feast that I could get into that I'm not. You can Google all of this, but picks this unique type of rose and wraps them up in basically a poncho that he was wearing, which we call his tilma. And he kind of picks all these roses, wraps them up, and carries them to the bishop, drops them in front of the bishop. And the bishop is completely surprised, and Juan Diego thinks that this is because of these roses, because again, there's a whole story behind the roses, and Juan Diego's thinking, oh, the bishop finally got the sign, these unique roses apparently meant something to him, and now he's going to do it. But in fact, what Juan Diego didn't realize was that these roses had left this miraculous image on the tilma that he was wearing, on the poncho that he was wearing, and that's the image that you see in front of you here. And what is so unique about this image, and again, you could read so much about this, there have been so many books written about this, is to this very day, scientists have tried and they don't understand, number one, why the tilma hasn't fallen apart, because it's over 500 years old and it was made of natural fibers that everyone agrees should have completely disintegrated by now, given the condition that it was kept in. But beyond that, how the image is actually on those fibers. They can't reproduce any kind of, they can't figure out how they did the colors, how it was put on there. They've done all sorts of testing on it. Anyway, so what makes this feast so unique is, unlike so many other Marian apparitions where the Blessed Mother simply appeared to someone and gave them a message, in this feast, she left an image of herself. She left an image that is so detailed. And one last time, go and Google this and read some more about it, because there are so many details in the image itself that they've noticed. Details in the very eyeball of the Blessed Mother. Details in the clothing she's wearing. I'm going to touch on a few of those, but there's so much more you can read about this. And anyways, this image had a huge impact on not just Mexico, but really on all of the Americas. One of the reasons why this feast day today is actually given the liturgical rank of a full-blown feast, which is why we have a Gloria, even though we're in the middle of Advent, and et cetera. It's a very important feast, and of course the Blessed Mother, under the title of Our Lady of Guadalupe, has really been named the patroness of the entire Americas, not just Mexico. It is said that this image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, the whole story and the image itself, It's estimated converted about 9 million Aztecs, and that might not sound like a whole lot nowadays when we think about 7 billion people on this planet, but of course back then, and to this day too, 9 million is still a lot, that this image converted over 9 million Aztecs. And one of the reasons why is this, and again this goes back to the image itself. In this image, we see our Blessed Mother. We see in her clothing a lot of what we heard in that first reading from the book of the book of Revelation, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was with child. In this image, we see the Blessed Mother wearing all sorts of clothes that were traditional to the Aztec culture and even religion, and yet we see some contradictions, because in this image we have the Blessed Mother clothed as that woman in the scriptures in the book of Revelation. The image shows her pregnant. In fact, you'll notice she's wearing a certain ribbon high around her waist, a ribbon that would have been worn in the Aztec culture by pregnant women. The very colors and the clothes that she's wearing, the designs on the clothes, are reminiscent of Aztec deity, and yet the image, one of the contradictions in the image is here you have the Blessed Mother looking downward, looking, if you will, at the true God. So here she is saying to the Aztecs, in kind of their own language, in kind of their own symbolism, I am not God, I am pointing you to the one true God. Those own ideas you have of your gods are false. This is the one true God that I'm pointing to, I carry in my womb. Another interesting thing, of course, is the brooch that she has on, a cross on it, again indicating that this religion that has been brought over in arguably violent ways at times, but this religion is the true religion, but here she is again dressed as one of their own, dressed as an Aztec native with these images reminiscent of their deities, and yet she's saying, no, I am not God, and the true gods, the gods that you seek after, are not the true God. The true God is this one who I myself am looking at. I myself am kind of bowing down to. The other thing that's important to realize with the Aztec culture, a very sad thing about the Aztec culture, and something that this image completely kind of destroys, is in the Aztec culture, of course, was practiced human sacrifice. And here in this image, the Blessed Mother is teaching the Aztec people, teaching us, that contrary to what you might have thought in the Aztec culture, that humans were expendable and that God didn't really put much of a value on them, that he demanded all sorts of them sacrifice to him, all the different gods. Here, this image is saying, no, humans are so important. Human dignity is so great that the one true God became a human being. So again, there's so much symbolism in this one image. We see the Blessed Mother ingratiating herself with the culture, and yet at the same time correcting some of the errors in their thinking about God and the world and the great dignity of human nature. And so, how does this apply to us today? How does the Blessed Mother play such an important part, and especially the Virgin of Guadalupe? Well, we don't sacrifice humans anymore, at least not in the way that the Aztecs did. But we look at abortion, which granted is only one of the many pro-life issues, but the one that claims the most number of lives, over 3,000 each day, and that's just in the United States. And we can see that the world, this, and our society especially, needs Our Lady of Guadalupe to show us the great dignity of the human being, to show us that God thought so highly, thinks so highly of us, that he became one of us to redeem us, that we are not expendable just to be used to placate the gods, that we have such great worth. This is why the Blessed Mother, I think, is so powerful in the pro-life movement, but again, especially under this title of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Let me just wrap up with this. The very word Guadalupe, most scholars agree, it's kind of difficult to trace the etymology of the word, but most scholars agree that it's actually an anglicized word, a form of the Aztec word that in Aztec, meaning she who crushes the stone serpent's head. And how appropriate that we always see the Blessed Mother so often in statues and iconography crushing the ancient serpent's head, the devil. We see that in that first reading again that from Revelation that the devil was chasing after her but could not get her. And of course we see that in the very book of Genesis, the third chapter of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. We heard that this past Sunday, on Saturday, for the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, that Mary has this great role to play as the new Eve, that God has placed that enmity between Mary and the devil, that here she is, the one who is to crush the devil's head. So we can ask Our Lady of Guadalupe to intercede for us, for this country, to bring the present human sacrifice that continues. Just as she converted the Aztec culture, we should ask for her intercession to continue to convert our culture. And I say continue because we are in the majority. We are in the majority. The pro-life movement is gaining steam, and we are in the majority. But we need continued conversion for our society. We need our Blessed Mother to show us, as we see in today's gospel, that the choice is to follow God. The so-called pro-choice movement is a choice to do what we want. And here in the gospel, we see Mary saying, "No, I am choosing not to do what I want, but what God wants." We should ask the Virgin of Guadalupe's intercession for us and for this whole country. As she is the Empress of America, is the patroness of our continent, to help convert us, to help convert our society, to help show that true choice is to choose to do the will of God.